All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And sitting in studio with me today is the OG himself. Did you ever think you'd become an OG at anything, to be honest with you?
I figured that came with old age, but I guess it comes with wisdom nowadays.
Nowadays, we're adding the wisdom into it. Because back in the old days, like, the OGs were just the guys who just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, really though.
And I definitely can't do a lot of things I tell people to do anymore, but happy to have you in studio. And the reason why Kenneth is with us today, because he and I went and did a little speaking engagement down in Emory County. Whoop, whoop. So big shout out to all the administrators, teachers, bus drivers, lunch ladies,
maintenance people,
just lunch staff, maintenance people that came out and listened to us. And it's cool hanging out with everybody and talk to them afterwards. So
always a good vibe.
Great people down there. And shout out to Emory High School out there in Carbon County, Price area. So we don't get to go that far south in Utah too often.
Right.
But when we're there, we get to really appreciate just the landscape. It's just... Yep. I don't know. Before the pandemic, we were talking about on the drive down there. I forget who I was talking to, but anyways, I would have kind of hated on really rural parts out there and been like, I can't see why people want to live out here.
Yeah.
But now after the pandemic, you know, I've gotten older with kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I get it. I definitely could see it. It's it's simpler. It's easier.
It is.
You know, you can see people coming from a mile away, literally a couple miles away.
Literally.
No one's going to sneak up on you anywhere if you got your own ranch, or whatever. So that was a lot of fun. Well, so as always, whenever we go to speaking engagements, we have a text line and we answer some questions live, but we can never get to all the questions live. So fortunate enough, we had a bunch of people sending some texts. So we're going to get to maybe not all of those, but we're going to get to in the next few episodes some of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So basically people put in questions that they want us to answer. On this specific presentation, we talked a lot about social health. And so there are some questions that have to do, the administrators and teachers just wondering how social health works in a classroom setting.
For sure.
Because there's a lot of curriculums out there, specifically social and emotional learning curriculums that are very similar to our curriculums in the content technically,
right?
But the thing that's the biggest difference is the administration, how the teacher teaches it, and the whole entire goal and objective
for sure
is to make friends, build relationships, learn for the students to learn how to deal with combative energy and competition, learn how to negotiate with each other. And so, so some of the questions will be about that. But today we picked a handful of questions to answer that mostly revolve around grief, just intense feelings. So this episode is going to have some a little bit harder questions because, unfortunately, we spoke to a few of the people there, and there's been tragedy. Like any town, whether it's small or big, you know, people are going to, there's going to be accidents. There's many diseases that people get, and sometimes they lose loved ones.
Yep.
And that obviously can affect all the kids in the school when they lose a sibling or parent, what have you. So let's just jump right into it. Kenneth, why don't you go ahead and read the first question for us?
Yeah. So the first question is, what is the best way to deal with children who don't care about others around them? They show very little empathy.
Well, you just yell at them more.
Yeah, it'll get them stopped eventually.
Yeah, you shame them, shame them as much as you possibly can.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm just joking. Obviously, that's not the answer. And our voice is a little strained because we didn't sleep much and we're talking for a long time. Interesting thing about empathy is there's lots of reasons. Like, first of all, thanks to the person who sent the question. I don't know that there's a lot of things that can cause a lack of empathy outside of just being born with certain neurochemicals being deficient inside your body. I won't get into all that, but some of the things can be if the child's not shown a lot of empathy.
Mm.
Sometimes kids are taught not to be empathetic because the people, their family, aren't really all that empathetic with them.
Right.
Yet they, sometimes parents and people can expect their kid to be very compassionate, empathetic to other people's struggles, difficulties, what have you. But if the parents aren't showing empathy towards the kids, that can be one thing.
Right.
Another thing could be showing too much empathy and compassion towards your kids.
Mm.
'Cause showing too much empathy and compassion, AKA coddling, trying to protect them from ever having things not go their way, that has the opposite effect where it can cause them to not have empathy for other people because they're only trained to feel their own feelings and their own emotions. Something that goes with that is that's very, so for the teenage years, it's definitely more likely that girls are going to show more empathy, and guys are going to be less concerned with their friends' feelings.
Yeah.
Not that they can't be, they're just not going to pick up on how it could hurt, like something that they say could hurt their friend, right? Girls typically, very generally speaking, they typically understand empathy, know that they hurt their friend. They just may not want to admit it, and they may justify that their friend hurt them first.
Yeah.
So it was okay for them to take shots at their friend, that type of thing. So some of the best things, and I want you to weigh in on this too, but some of the best basic things is give your kids an opportunity to be in a place or an environment where empathy is kind of like the goal. So for example, your kids need to know that there's always people that have it worse than you.
Yes.
So I know my cousin, he sent his son out. He did something extreme, so this is not something I suggest everybody do. Plus, he probably wouldn't be able to do it. But he sent his son out to live in Samoa with family for a summer. I guess the result was he had more empathy, but originally it was like, it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
And so because things were so tough, he had more empathy for what his family gave him.
Right.
And now, not that people in Samoa weren't loving Tim, it's just a different kind of love.
Yeah.
And it's the type of love that you work hard and we give you love. You don't work hard, you ain't going to get that much love and not that much food either, right? Like you got to help you got to help every other person's life in the village, make their lives better. So for you to get empathy from us. So it's kind of like a reverse way of teaching it. So putting your kids in some sort of service projects, getting them involved in something that they might be passionate or have some interest in would make it easier. So for example, if it's service, like I know there's a lot of adaptive sports companies and nonprofits. So maybe your kid is like big into soccer. Well, if you find an adaptive nonprofit that works with like helping people that have disabilities, physical disabilities, play soccer, your kid can go like ref a game or they can go kind of help play. They just do something on those lines. I mean, of course, there's always giving stuff to people that are less fortunate, like types of things. During the holidays, we did a podcast episode about doing the 12 days of Christmas for people who are less fortunate. So
not just a song.
Yeah, exactly. Not just a song. So what are some of your thoughts and ideas about things you can do to show empathy?
Man, you hit it right on the nail, man. I think exposure leads to expansion. You don't know what you don't know. And so just giving people the right exposure to understanding or describing what that empathy looks like people can say it all the time, but do they actually know what it means? Can they describe it? And then once you describe it, give it a name and give people exposure to it, then they're like, oh, shoot, this is what it is. I'm taking a walk in someone else's shoes. That's like me in Utah. Like when I was getting recruited, I didn't know I didn't even know where Utah was, right? And I heard so many bad and negative things about Utah until I came to Utah, got exposure for myself. It's like, oh, shoot, it's not as bad as what people thought it was. You know, I had to really step inside, put my foot on the put my foot in other people's shoes, understanding what their experience is like, gave me a new perspective. And ultimately, my habits and my behaviors changed accordingly because I got this new exposure and this new experience based on that. So that's what I think empathy is, man. Just putting yourself in other people's shoes. I love the service projects. I'm starting to do that now with my little ones, like making them think like, I ain't gonna lie, my kids are spoiled, but I want them to think about me. What is it? What would it be like if you didn't have it? And they would be like, oh, well, I'll be sad, right? It's just imagine a kid that doesn't have it. How would you think they feel? They'll feel sad. Well, that's the reason why you can't, you know, do this, right? And so it's just giving them little moments of teachings and so it can give them exposure to the name.
Oh, yeah, that's great. One of the things that I've given my clients, I'll bring a therapeutic theme there. As most people listen to podcasts know that I'm a mental health professional. I do mental health therapy, but yes. Most of the things I prescribe are social health.
Yes.
Social tools, because as I say all the time, mental health is the problem.
Yeah.
Social health is the solution. Meaning, like, you got to have problems before you have mental health problems. Like, Most people just don't wake up one day. It's like, today's a good day to have bipolar. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't work like that. A lot of things got to happen for someone to get bipolar or to have an addiction.
And to go back about it, too, it's like the best way to deal with children who don't care about others around them is, like, obviously there's some type of disconnect going on. Yeah. Like, they don't know too much about them or anything, right? And so maybe that the connection kills it all. Like, once they connect, they start to understand their stories, who they are, what made them that way, then they can be a little bit more empathetic. So maybe it's you creating group circles or circles of group to provide that initiative in there for people to be more empathetic, to learn more about each other, to connect outside of just math class or science class. And I think that would be cool too.
Yeah, there's big general things parents you can do. And these are all just decisions that you can make. I know for me and my wife, we made the decision to have my son and daughter go to a high school that has a little bit more cultural diversity.
Mm, yep.
And we could go to this other high school that a lot of our family members go to. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not 100% true, but we just feel through knowing a lot of people that go to that high school and kind of many of the cultures, the families there, it's a very affluent society, like very affluent high school. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids, you know, a lot of wealthy families have their kids go to that high school. So like, hey, I want to have a little bit more of a diverse, you know, culture experience, and then something a little bit more specific. And that's just with anything. Like you could, sometimes you could be on the best team or you could be on a team that's better for your kids.
That's real.
Right?
That's real.
And another thing that's more specific, that's more of a therapeutic type technique that I give people is prescribing social scavenger hunts, but specifically what's called an empathy scavenger hunt. Mm. So you can do this easily on YouTube. Let's imagine you have a 13-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Let's imagine 13-year-old daughter. She just doesn't care about other people's feelings. You're seeing that she has low empathy and low compassion for other people. Then coming up with a scavenger hunt of that she has to go find certain people on YouTube. Mm. Some people have done it in like certain industries, like in the music industry, in sports, like whatever she's into. She's got to find three stories about people that have struggled in those cultures or in those environments, and then telling the family exactly what she learned. Like, how come these people took their hurt and pain and they turned it into some sort of purpose and passion? And the benefit from doing these compassion or empathy scavenger hunts is you're giving your kids this as a way to not have another consequence. So an example is you maybe just fight with your kids taking their cell phone. Maybe like, oh, tell them they have to, you know, come home later for the next curfew because they came home late last night. These things can cause confrontation with parents. Yeah. But if you really want your kid to have more empathy and compassion and you use this, you can be clever and say, okay, tell you what, you can either go without your cell phone for the next couple of days. You can't go hang out with your friends, or you can do an empathy scavenger hunt. Well, what's that? Well, you got to get creative, parents, because I don't know your exact situation.
Right.
But what you do is you tell them, okay, well, I know these are your interests, like TikTok, whatever. Why don't you find on TikTok some really powerful stories about people on TikTok that went through horrible stuff and now they found their passion, their purpose? And the lesson, so find those stories, find three different stories. I want you to explain to us, like, why are those people so, like, influenced by what happened? And why are they going out of their way to help out, you know, underprivileged people in their community? Like, what about it is that drives them? Come up with a couple questions that then they have to report to you with those stories. Yeah. And in that reporting can be a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so parents, you try to do this, don't be like interrogating your kid. Don't tell your kids like, okay, well, why do you think they really did that? Do you think they just did that to be like selfish? Or do you think, don't try to teach them, try mm-hmm. to give them the opportunity to share with you and yeah. just ask questions and be, you know, like, wow, like that's interesting. So you're saying that like they turned their whole entire life around all because that one coach mm-hmm. helped them out. Like, wow, that's powerful. What do you think that kid was going through at that particular moment? Just have a conversation with them about something that allows them to put themselves in someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. The Scared Straight program was a thing that where they used to take kids. You're probably too young to remember this. Do you remember that?
Yeah. You're talking about like one of the jail shows?
Yeah, they take the jail show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that worked shows. And didn't work. It worked for kids in the sense of like fear, but yes. fear doesn't last as long as admiration. Mm. Fear doesn't last as long. Fear is like, yeah, I'm scared, but the first chance I get, I mean, for all of the old heads out there, remember the movie Friday?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a scene where a guy's like, he comes around, you hide your chain when he leaves. Oh, the neighborhood bully tried to take people's gold chains. They take off the chains. So, yeah, but when he leaves, I put my chain back on. You know, I can handle myself, you know? Yep. Sometimes we realize that when we put ourselves in other people's shoes and listen to what they have going on, it helps us connect with them, but being scared, like someone going to take something from us, mm-hmm. like, yeah, we're scared of that person. But as soon as that person's gone, then like, forget them, dudes. They suck. And then you might throw shade on that person, talk trash about that person.
All other stuff, yeah.
So influencing other people, being able to help them see by putting them, giving them a situation, being in someone else's shoes, that's a far better way to teach empathy and compassion than to try to force it.
That's real. Yeah. That is real.
All right, let's get to another question. Okay, what's the next question we got here?
Yeah. All right. So it says, best tools to help students navigate the wave of grief from losing one of their classmates / teammates. Mm.
Yeah, this is a rough one. It's a rough one. I mean, it's horrible that teenagers have to go through that. Yeah. I was fortunate enough when I was in high school to not have any of my classmates or teammates die. One of my classmates did die shortly after high school. Mm. And unfortunately, it's all too familiar nowadays. There's a lot of kids that, whether it be suicide, obviously suicide is a type of death that's been growing for a long time. But, you know, when you have a group of kids and they're all in a shared struggle, it's good that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way, or one of the best ways you can help your child or their group of friends is you can help them have community, help them have get-togethers. We talked about this after the presentation today. Unfortunately, a few of the moms had all experienced that. Their daughters were all best friends. They talked to us about it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, one of the moms, she lost her daughter to cancer. And so the little sister was devastated. Of course, her best friends were devastated. And I explained to them, specifically with girls, it's really important for them to get the social support when they go through a hard thing, and especially if a girl's having mental health problems. It's really good to get that social support. However, there's a catch-22. Girls, specifically on social media and when they're texting, if they're not careful, if there's not some sort of supervision about what's going on, you don't have to listen to everything they're doing. But if there's not some sort of supervision, what can happen is they can really start to add almost some sort of like social credit to them struggling. So some psychologists talk about it's like they get the sense of valor, like because I'm a victim of a death or something that's bad that's happened to me or suicide attempt, addiction, whatever it is, that I am at a higher status now and that something special about me because my struggle makes me unique. The reason why that's a slippery slope is you don't want kids, teenagers specifically, to mistake their struggles, their hardships, their pain they went through as something that they should be proud of in the sense of they should want to keep that role. They should want to keep that identity. They should be proud of overcoming it. They should be proud of the strength and the resiliency they developed by going through a difficult time. But you don't want kids being like, well, my life's worse than yours. My life's worse than yours. And then they start one-upping each other to the point where the only way they're going to get attention from their friend group is they got to be the most squeaky wheel. You know what I mean? They have to have the most problems. And it becomes this like competition.
Yep.
And so just I always caution and make people, you want to keep kids together to help them grieve, but you want to have some sort of supervision so that their grief doesn't turn into like just sulking and marinating and then getting some sort of identity from the grief that makes them feel like they're unique or special. Their feelings, their experiences are unique and special to them.
That's true.
But every human being, not every, many human beings go through loss and death, just not necessarily that early. Yeah. So that's why I always tell people, hey, to help them grieve, help them do it together, and also help them talk about the good times with that friend. Remember those memories, what that friend gave you. Otherwise, you can get caught up in the, I should have been there. If I would have done this, maybe I could have saved them, especially when it's a suicide situation. So what are some of your thoughts on when classmates, because I know you've had friends and you've lost people, specifically teammates, stuff like that. So what are some of the things you think can be helpful?
You know, that's, you pointed out some really good things. Another thing I thought about too is that if someone does make it out on the other side, oftentimes they may have survivor's guilt.
Yeah,
and that may slip them right back inside, or the people that are still going through suffering and see that person on the other side, they cause friction and hate against them. Like, oh, now they think they're so special because they didn't make it out the struggle. And, you know, it's just, it adds a lot of elements and layers to it, too. And I like the way you describe, like, everybody goes through pain. Like, my pain, like, say, for instance, you know, I lost my mother. Someone else may have lost a mother, but their pain may be different than my pain. And that one up thing is like, well, you ain't go through pain like I did. Well, you know, I think that's with social media, it has come a big thing. Like, who struggles the most? Like, who has the most struggle? And it's like, we're parading that nowadays, it looks like. So,
yeah. And you want to give people attention and give them, you know, what they need to help them go through a hard time. Mm-hmm. But it's, like I said, it's you gotta be cautious to not give them so much that it keeps them in that hard time. Mm-hmm. They don't ever evolve out of it.
Right.
They're just talking about the pain over and over and over again. And grief has many stages, as most people know. And, you know, they have to go through all and experience all the stages. Yeah. You don't want to make it caught just on the, like, the disbelief stage or they can't believe it happened, you know?
I want to see the transformation stage, because that transformation stage is beautiful, because then they give back all the elixir and the wisdom and the knowledge and the game that they learn and be able to give it right back, you know?
Heck yeah.
And it gives people an...
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
North Star, like, dang, I'm going through this struggle, and I seen the transformation that it had for someone else, so I can do it too, type thing. And it's not anything braggadocious. It's just like, here's what I went through. Here's how it helped me. Here's where I am now. Maybe it can help you too along your journey. And it's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum of like the crab in the barrel bucket. It's more so of the a person reaching down, like lifting up, rather than the people underneath is like pulling them down. So I think that's a good thing too.
Oh yeah. And one thing you guys can do as parents, if you happen to have a kid that one of their friends has passed away and, you know, their friend group is struggling, one of the things really cool is to teach your kid that always try to validate your friend's struggles, always try to like listen to them and hear them out. And but also at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not competing with that person, their struggle. Like, well, I was closer to this friend, you know, like my pain's worse because I spent more time with them. Or something was unique about, you know, me and this person. And so if you just listen to someone, it's like, man, I'm sorry feeling that way. Like, dude, that sucks. It's horrible. You know, when I went through my thing with my friend that passed away, or the way I dealt with it was a specific way. I don't know if that helps you or not, but I thought I'd just give you that suggestion, ideas.
Yeah.
So we used to do this at our social health quit tripping groups all the time. We'd tell kids in the law of the group, it's like, we want you to give suggestions and ideas. Mm-hmm. Do not tell people what to do. Right. Don't tell them how to feel. Don't tell them, oh, because you went through something similar, that they should do the exact same thing that you went through because it worked for you.
Yeah.
Especially with grief, people are very protective of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember that, you guys. You're going to be protective of the things that you've lost, that you don't have anymore.
Yep.
Sometimes you're protective of, you know, not just a loved one passing away, but you're protective of a past relationship mm-hmm. after you break up with that person. You may be mad at that person, be frustrated, but you don't want your friends talking trash on that person. Like, right. Hey, hold on, like, let me talk the trash. Yeah. Like,
yep.
I'm still a little protective of what happened.
That's true.
Now, it's going to be even more so when it comes to a loved one. So if you have a teammate and, you know, they have a sibling die, let's say, you may be trying to give them good support, but you may unknowingly step on their toes and kind of piss them off by trying to tell them what to do based upon your life experiences. That's why I just say, hey, I'm here for you. I don't know if this would help, but you might want to try this, but if not, that's cool too. You're just extending that little information, but you're not calling them every day. Hey, did you take my advice? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you take my advice? Right. If you don't take my advice, you're not going to get better.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's get to the next question now. Go for it.
Next question says, males are 4 times more successful in ending their lives than our females. What different things should we do for boys?
Well, let me give you guys a little statistics. So that person's actually correct. I don't know if it's exactly 4 times. It may be more than that, maybe a little bit less, but I think what they're saying is accurate. There's a few reasons for that. One, boys are more impulsive. So I talk about that in the book, Youth of the Nation, when talking about the story of Corey Swapp. Boys are more likely to get into a fist fight after like something happened on a basketball court or football field than girls would. I'm not saying that girls won't get into fights, but girls are not as physically reactive the same way. They're more emotional reactive. They may give eye rolls and make the other girl try to hurt the other girl's feelings more so than hurt him physically.
Yep.
And so how that leans over to how it adds information to boys with suicide is that if boys are more impulsive, a lot of times they don't actually plan to be suicidal. They don't plan to take their life. It's a reaction to an extreme hurtful experience, embarrassment, disappointment, some sort of pain like that.
Sure.
And with boys, another thing too, specifically if you live in the Utah area, there's higher rates of suicide in the mountain regions, from the Rocky Mountains all the way up to Alaska. A couple different reasons. One reason is altitude. As crazy it may sound, it's true. There's a bunch of research been done. It's not new research either that shows that some people, the only problem with it is it doesn't say, like, you don't really know if you're one of those people or not, but some people, when they're in a higher altitude, it affects the makeup of the brain, how their brain functions. And so they start to have more depressed and anxious feelings. Now you compile that with someone already being anxious and depressed and struggling. Yeah. So that's one reason. Another reason why suicide is so prevalent in these areas is because the gun laws. I mean, just like addiction is going to be harder to fight. If you're an alcoholic and you live next door to
a liquor store,
that's not going to be the best thing for you. So when it comes to lethality, boys are more likely to use more lethal means of attempting suicide. So you have a higher probability of being successful in your suicide attempt if you use a weapon or if you, you know, were to jump off high bridge or something like that, as opposed to if you took pills. You take the pills and all of a sudden the shock and the reality, like, oh my gosh, like I could die in an hour or two. And then gives them time to be able to contact someone in that fear state. So boys are more impulsive. If you're in certain areas of the United States, you're going to have easier access to firearms, which unfortunately that's, you know, some people just make a mistake or they're not diligent on keeping their firearms safe. And then so the reactiveness, the firearms, and then, you know, on top of it, you have a situation where boys aren't going to typically want to like try something. They're going to want to send it and go all the way. And that's the third part that they found this research. So that's a really long way. I just felt the need to educate people on that. It's really a long way to where they ask, what different things should we do for boys? Well, if boys are suppressing this hurt and pain inside of them, getting boys to open up and talk. Yes. Getting boys to open up and talk about it is one thing, but also for other boys, they're going to need a physical outlet.
Yes.
There's more boys right now that are doing things that make them less attractive to the opposite sex.
Yep.
And no diss, it's just reality. There's more boys sitting around playing video games instead of like going out and doing real hard, tough, challenging things.
That's real.
And of course, I'm not talking to everybody, but for the boys who do have lots of physical challenges in their life, maybe they're athletes or maybe, you know, stuff like that, obviously they need to talk and share these things. For the boys that don't have physical outlets, they have pent up aggression and anger and rage and frustration because they're sedentary. They're not doing a lot. Mm. Like they're just sitting still.
Yeah.
And no time in human history have males just done less. Like we have a world now where a male can be really well known, can be really popular, have a lot going for them, and all they do is just on a keyboard all day long. Right? If you're really good at that, you could get that, you could win the girl, you could do this. But the reason why I say physical exercise and talking about what's going on inside of you, the combination of those two, having both of those, one, the exercise, what I call drains the dragon.
Yep.
It just gets all the fiery anger and frustration out of you. So you can articulate your thoughts and feelings better.
Sure.
And then, you know, on top of like getting all that out of there, being able to talk to someone, but it's talking in a way you feel like you're actually expressing something instead of talking in a way where you feel like you're broken and someone's trying to fix you.
Right.
So if you want to help a young man talk about their hurt and pain, you can't ask them a bunch of questions.
Right.
You can't sit there and just tell them, you know, how they feel. You can't say, well, I guess since you don't want to talk to me that you're doing fine, so I don't want to hear about you having mental health problems. I don't want to hear about you not going to practice.
Yeah.
Out of frustration sometimes with boys, people just say things, you know, that they don't really mean, but they're angry because their boy's not giving much feedback. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do, if you haven't listened to our other podcast before, is use statements.
Mm-hmm.
You should tell me, listen, I don't know if you want to talk about these things. Here's what I'm seeing. Make an observation.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear about it.
Yep.
I mean, I know in the past I've given you a bunch of feedback and ideas and stuff. I can just shut up and listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say anything, but I know that you do need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm available, so I'd like to help out.
Yeah.
But you don't say it once. You don't say it twice. You keep on finding different ways to make those points. And then, of course, if you're a parent, you have influence over them, sign your kids up for something difficult and something that they struggle with. Yeah. You know, I used to laugh. I used to go by the park, by this gym. I used to work out at. I see boys LARPing there. There's boys and girls, actually.
Mm.
So if you don't know what LARPing, you don't know what LARPing is?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck LARPing is.
So I'm sure aquatics? You've seen it. Like, have you ever gone by a park and seen a bunch of dudes with, like, fake swords and shields from, like, the medieval knight games, and they're pretending like they're fighting?
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
There's a LARPing? Funny comedy. Yeah, there's a funny comedy called... LARPing. What was it? Had a little black kid in it, and he was in this program for like older brother type thing. Paul Rudd, was it Paul Rudd? There's a couple other actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that plays in American Pie, the funny guy. Anyways, so in this movie, they're having a bunch of people LARPing. And the reason why I brought this up is that I used to make fun of like, look at these guys up there. That it's like they're playing real life Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
they went from the board game and out to LARPing.
Yep.
Well, then I had a client that actually was into LARPing and started explaining how much it helped him socially.
Mm.
And he got out of the house. He was making friends. And even though, because I know people make fun of us because we're not really fighting. It's like we're pretending. Mm-hmm. But he's like, at least we're not on our couch getting Cheetos fingers. At least we're like out there doing stuff. And I was like, you know what? I take it back. I'm a supporter of LARPing. Yeah, get out there.
Professional LARP.
Get out there and freaking let your imagination go. You know what I mean? It'd be the same thing like a musician. Just like, oh, you know, I like to sing in the shower.
Yep.
But you never went to do a show. Like, they're having opportunities. Go try it. Like, put yourself out in the situation. So for boys, talking about things that are hard.
For sure.
Giving them the ability to talk about it by not cramping their space, force them with a bunch of questions, talk about it. And then doing really physical, difficult things.
For sure.
It's better for them to do difficult things right before, the day before. I definitely have those physical challenges the week of, just to be able to drain the dragon so they're not so pent up.
Yep.
Because you can't think clearly when you're hungry, when you're angry, you know? So
at all, man. You hit on some great points. one of my biggest things is the amount of outlets that we have. The only outlet that we seem like the boys have nowadays that has like credibility or clout to it is sports. Like if we said, like, for instance, one of my guys on my football team, you know, he signed up for violin lessons. That's just one of his outlets. And then he gets laughed at about it. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, for boys, there are many outlets. However, it's not to our boyish standard. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. To where now they just hold it in, suppress it, like you said. And so I think, you know, having more outlets that's outside of the regular spectrum of like sports or anything can have us, or have us boys, you know, just be open and willing. Like, for instance, I volunteer every week at a juvenile detention center. And one of the ladies who's the program manager, she was just like, you know, she laid it out to me. She said, if you recognize, if we had 100 kids in here, 80 of them will be boys and 20 will be females. And if you look at the amount of volunteers, we probably have 80 volunteers for women, but only like 20 volunteers for men. And she was just like, it's just sad to see, like, these boys need someone to talk to, and they just don't have that availability to open up, to talk to people, to have as an outlet, to be able to help them in their journeys. And that just kind of goes back with it. Boys, we don't do enough talking. Everything is like, I don't know, that physicalness about it. But if we can just open up, talk, whether it's through like different exercises, outlets, I think that'll help us out tremendously. And stop. I think the biggest thing is just really the credibility part of like, of what that outlet may look like, if, whether it's feminine. Like, for instance, if I want to do art, say if a kid wants to go out there and do art on the little canvas and stuff like that, is that feminine? Say if he wants to go out and garden, is that feminine? You know, like, I feel like women have a lot of outlets that isn't diminishing their femininity. You know what I'm saying? But men, we have many outlets that are diminishing our masculinity. And so they're like, man, bump that. I'd rather just be a dragon, right? With all this energy, instead of, you know, doing those things that could help me release it, because I don't want to get judged by everybody else.
You know, even though it may sound like we're getting off topic a little bit, I think that's really relevant to what we talked about, because it says males are 4 times more successful in ending their lives mm-hmm. than our females.
Yeah.
Well, that's the final problem. But if we do all the way back, we're talking about building young men that are balanced, right?
Yes.
Like helping them. Have you ever heard of it's Japanese. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the term Kaizen?
But my friend, he did a presentation on that.
Oh, really?
Is it K-A-I-Z-O-N?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Z-E-N, I believe.
There we Kaizen. Go. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, Kaizen, it's just one of those things where, see, the samurai, the soldiers, warriors, they're training, fighting. They invented judo. They invented jujitsu, like all that stuff.
That's crazy.
But the best warriors were also the best at calligraphy and art and drawing.
That's crazy.
So they'd be practicing the sword, just blooding people up. Mm. And then they'd just sit there for hours and practicing perfect penmanship until they got it just right. And Kaizen is kind of like that Malcolm Gladwell. So you got to practice something for 10,000 hours.
Yep.
It's basically, it's depth before width. You mm-hmm. want to keep on doing it, doing. So there's just such an intricate, minute detail. So for example, if you're a sneakerhead,
yep.
anyone listening, if you like sneakers, you can look at the intricate detail, yep. the stitching, the threading to know it's like, wow, like, this had a lot of thought that
yes.
went into, like, this
yep.
isn't just some random thing that someone put together.
Mm-hmm.
A knife, any little trinket, you're like, there's a level of it was done, and there's a level is like, whoa, this was done with thousands of hours, years, maybe even decades yeah. of precision.
Yes.
Just getting it down to the best. And that's what man. The Japanese, that's what they talked about, is like, to be a real Renaissance man, you should be an artist, you should be a yeah. warrior,
yes.
you should have all these different parts of you that make up you. And mm-hmm. so I'm so glad, like, my son, he'll get done with jujitsu or wrestling practice
mm-hmm.
and he'll come home and do his math homework, and then he'll just draw
mm-hmm.
like, so he's into art because my daughter, he gets so locked in on the art that he's forgetting about if he had a bad practice or
yep.
if he had a bad tournament or if they, you know what I mean, it just kind of blends it out. And the reason why I think that's such a good balance for so many young men is, like women, but young men a little bit different, there's a lot of pressure, like mm-hmm. you said. They see, like, if I'm going to be known for something, if I'm yeah. going to bring pride and honor to my family, I'm going to have to be a great athlete.
Yeah.
Or if they're not an athlete, like, I'm going to have to do something that gives, yeah, entertainment,
yeah.
have some clout online.
Yeah.
Well, all of those things aren't necessarily a balanced venture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not careful, you may be trying so hard to be a good football player that you may look at schoolwork as a nuisance.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
may look at, like, Oh, nerd. If I got to read about history, that's for nerds. If yeah. I got to do that, oh, that's lame. I'm such not going to do geek. That. And then you get older and we find out, I think a great example is Lego's doing a movie mm-hmm. about Pharrell.
Man.
And so many people that push culture, so many people that have been revolutionary in their different industries, what yep. have you,
Pharrell.
You end up looking at their background history and they're geeks and dorks and nerds growing mm-hmm. up. Like Pharrell, like he was not like the cool kid. He was like weirded out by music in a good way. Like he was so geeked out with music yep. that people are like, what's wrong? Like, just, like you're such mm-hmm. a dork. Like there, it was just like, that's why right. is this kid just can't stop thinking about music and lyrics mm-hmm. and beats? And then now who's getting the last laugh? Then he changes yep. culture. He yep. he's not everything. A singer, but he sings. He has a rock mm-hmm. band. He's a rapper. He has all these different things. But look how versatile and multifaceted his mm-hmm. talents are because he was exploring who he is by yeah. thinking about what he likes to do. I think you're like that. Me, all my friends, my friends used to make fun of me because I was an advanced drama. Mm-hmm. I competed in the Shakespeare Festival, dude, Beverly Hills dope. High School.
That's dope. I took acting too in college. Right? That's dope.
Dude, and all my friends were like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Well, in eighth grade, I took a drama class mm-hmm. all because a girl. Because she was like, I knew she'd be in the class. Yeah. I had a crush on her.
That's funny.
And then after the class was over, the teacher was like, hey, man, I'm going to put you in for advanced drama in high school. I'm like, for what? So you got talent, skill. And if you tell a kid that they have talent or skill at something, they'll be like, wait, I do?
What?
So in my mind, this teacher was telling me I was good at something, and all my friends would laugh and make fun of me. I'm like, forget you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like you. I want to be different. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be just like the crew or just like the crowd. And I think when young men can explore that they can be more than just yeah. the thing that they're known for, you take peace and solace and like, hey, I could be tough and aggressive, but I can be chill and sensitive. I can mm-hmm. be funny. I don't yeah. got to be macho all the time.
That's true. That is true. I don't know about your drama experience, but when I went to Utah and I took an acting class, I don't know if it was a compliment or not, but after I got done doing a role, they was like, man, you remind us of Denzel Washington. And I don't know if it was a compliment of, you know, how good I was at acting, or it was just because I was the only black kid in the class.
Okay,
Hey, I'm just going to say it's because I'm a great actor.
I was going to say, I was like, how could that be a diss? But okay, I get what you're saying.
That was always like, yeah, he's Denzel for sure. Or Cuba Gooden. Like,
I'll definitely say you got some of that Denzel, the laughter, the confidence. But same thing, man. Denzel's a true thespian.
Yeah.
Like, he's a real study of the art. He's yes, not he like is. A guy that's like, oh, I was a football player. I'm gonna have a cameo in a movie. Mm. No, like he really takes dope, that stuff man. Serious.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
I know we went off on a tangent on that one, you guys, but in summarization, if you want to have strong young men, they have to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And to be strong doesn't just mean to be physically strong, to feats of strength. To be strong could be, you know, you got to be able to take some difficult criticism sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
To be strong could be like, hey, I got to sit there and listen to someone complain at me and I don't want to hear it. But mm-hmm. if I act like a jerk, it's going to make it worse. I got to stay in the pocket. I got to listen to them.
That's real.
And sometimes strong means that you got to say some things that you're scared that other people will freak out about. They won't be able to understand. And, you know, it could cause problems with relationships. But if you're being honest, specifically when it comes to mental health stuff or personal mm-hmm. struggles, you'll find out that you're less likely to want to harm yourself when you have an outlet so you can. Everything you go through that's a struggle is just a way to better know yourself mm-hmm. and to test yourself, as opposed to so many athletes specifically, their success on the field, on the court, whatever they're doing, they connect it too close to them as a person. Yeah. Like if I do good in the game, I'm a good person. Yeah. If I do bad, I'm a bad. If I'm a starter, I'm liked. If I'm not a starter, I'm not liked. Mm-hmm. When in reality, there's a lot of things that can make you likable and can make you attractive that that's don't fair. Require you to be the best at a sport.
Yep, that's facts.
Okay. All right, you guys. Well, until next time, thank you so much for following us here on OG Therapy. Follow us on all of our social media and look for very soon the Youth of the Nation book. Kenneth Scott's mentioned in the book. We're getting ready to start put that out there to the world. So if you haven't checked it out, go on Amazon. It's on Audible. You can get on Kindle, whatever have you. It tells the story of how social health was created and how we got to this mm-hmm. point and what we plan on doing in the future. So until next time, be cool.
All you homeowners have unique needs.
Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.